Yeah. Sometimes you gotta dig around a little bit to get the itch.
Sometimes you do.
Gotta move things around.
Again, and from 1989, we're going to talk about Tim Burton's take on Batman. The Batman, which is called Batman, I think, right?
This is called Batman.
No particularly crazy font or anything, which...
I think they would have been better off just calling it, I'm Batman.
Yeah, I'm the goddamn Batman. No. Yeah, this is a fun one, because we were talking about it, we were eight... I saw it at the theater twice. My mom loved it. It's a weird movie that my mom loved because I think she loved Jack. I mean, I know a lot of people, like you said, the sort of a criticism of it at the time was that it should have been called The Joker because, like, Jack Nicholson steals the show. And, of course, I think people have come to accept that now.
Villains usually do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they got to be so much fun to play.
Exactly.
Especially when you think of comic book villains. I mean, think about it. They're all that way.
Well, there are varying degrees, but yeah.
I was excited when I heard Kevin Spacey was playing Lex Luthor, but I tried to watch, I don't know, maybe half an hour of that movie, and it was just so far beyond my mind even wanting to try to wrap itself around what they were doing. I just gave up, shut it down.
Yeah, Superman Returns is not that great.
I exercised my freedom.
Yeah, your democratic freedom.
My democratic freedoms. And I said no. Sometimes you got to.
I went and saw it. It had a good trailer. I was really excited for it. And the one thing that they did right, in my opinion...
Well, this podcast isn't about Superman. What the fuck are you doing?
Well, I mean, you were saying some negative stuff, but you started with that. I'm just going to say...
I had a quick little segue.
Mine's quick, too. I thought that...
I rolled in, and I rolled back.
I thought that the use of the John Williams score and the cheesy 70s, like, swoosh out vanishing point credits...
That's three points.
But they didn't have to do that.
No, they didn't.
And but that they did is almost like such a clear sign of, well, you get it, right? And then they the movie is what the movie is, and you're like, aw. And now Zack Snyder, the guy that did 300, is going to do it.
Oh, Jesus.
But Chris Nolan is supposed to be the producer on it, so maybe it'll be cool. Who knows? Diane Lane's going to play Ma Kent.
Maybe he just wants more money.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic. Anyway, though, like you said, we're talking about Batman. We're not talking about the Chris Nolan Batman.
We're talking about Tim Burton, 1989.
Jack Nicholson. Jack Palance. Lieutenant Eckhart, thinking about the future.
He wasn't thinking about the future.
No?
Maybe he was drinking Drano.
He was definitely doing
something
things.
Fucked up his voice big time.
His behavior.
I'm like, I don't think that was fucking bourbon. Yeah, that was hardcore.
Ill-advised.
He was tapping that shit.
Yeah. Michael Keaton.
I always loved Michael Keaton. Especially in comedy.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's solid.
We did get one taste of Michael Keaton at his craziest.
Yeah.
When he's, you know, playing around with the fire poker.
Going nuts? You want to go nuts, Jack? Let's go nuts.
Yeah, and Michael Keaton's good at that.
Yeah, he is.
Pacific Heights. Another time... We'll take a drive down that long forgotten road.
Yeah, we could do that
with
Melanie Griffith
and Matthew Modine.
Matthew Modine.
Yeah, but Michael Keaton being crazy always fun.
But that's not in Batman. That's in Pacific Heights with Michael Keaton.
But there's
Batman.
A link.
Yes,
there's a closer link between that and Superman.
Sure.
I mean, what the hell does Superman have to do with Batman?
Not much in this movie. Thankfully, they've kept them separated in the movie so far, because when they combine them, it gets a little difficult. It's fine in comic books to a degree, but I don't know if it'll work in a movie. And that's the thing about this Batman.
When are they going to dedicate one to Christopher Reeves? I mean, come on.
I think that they did.
They did?
The last one, I think.
They did?
I think it was like for Chris or some stupid shit like that.
Really? At the end? In the
maybe,
credits?
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't know.
Well, somebody look that up. I mean, get on that, yeah. Because if that's true, then I will retract all previous statements.
Sure.
Just sure. For Chris. So because he was in Somewhere in Time.
Yeah.
And
no one cares. No one cares about Somewhere in Time.
Really?
No one cares.
Wow.
No one cares.
Even with Jane Seymour?
No one cares about Jane Seymour, Somewhere in Time. No one cares about Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn?
And Sully and her screaming as she's giving birth to the baby.
She was giving birth? I didn't watch the show.
Yeah, I just saw like
the commercial for it.
That was America's Night of Television with Walker and...
Walker?
And Dr. Quinn and stuff.
Dr. Quinn?
Yeah.
Did Conan ever have a Dr. Quinn, like, button?
No, no. And he doesn't have Walker anymore because he's with TBS instead of NBC, so...
That's weird. Yeah. Maybe they bought the
NBC Universal.
It's all one big conglomerate.
It's pretty much all one big super thing, and they're feeding us old people at this point. No. So the 1989 Batman.
You know, it'd be crazy though.
Yeah, what's that?
If I was making the crackers, you get different colors.
Definitely. Of course.
You got to spice it up.
Food coloring, you know?
A little food coloring, maybe some cilantro.
A little cilantro?
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow. Uh-huh. Anyway, Batman, 1989.
Right.
Prince? Let's talk about Prince.
There's a lot of things to talk about, but I think the best way to organize...
Excuse me, the artist formerly known as the symbol...
He's just Prince now. It's all back Prince. To zero.
It's
yeah.
all back
it's
to
nice.
Zero.
It's nice. It's so nice. I'm so much of so anxiety.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like,
what am I supposed to call him? I don't know.
Man, now I think I might be able to figure out what I'm supposed to do in this life.
Exactly. That's what I said. Less anxiety.
Less anxiety.
So, 1989 Batman. This film is... very theatric, very melodramatic, a lot of big set pieces, a lot of big set design and everything. Maybe it's because I just watched Amadeus earlier today, and there's a lot of scenes of the big operas, but the film feels a lot like that. Yeah.
Wow.
The film feels kind of...
Salieri?
Yeah, Salieri. F. Murray Abraham.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Man, why do you have to bring that up?
Because the opera scenes in that reminded me a lot of this movie.
That I mean, we could go on for hours just about Salieri.
Salieri's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Why haven't we done Amadeus?
We can do Batman and then do Amadeus in a minute or two.
Okay.
I just saw it, and if you feel confident enough to talk about it.
I'm so sad that guy disappeared.
F. Murray?
No, not F. Murray.
Oh, Tom Hughes?
He made it to... F. Murray made it to... Surviving the Game.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
He had a good run.
Yeah.
Unlike Eckhart.
He's in Blood Money.
Yeah.
Or Blood Monkey. Blood Monkey. Channel original movie, Blood Monkey.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow, they just crank those fuckers out. What do they do, about a couple dozen a year?
I think they have like a new one every week. So that would be 52 a year.
Sweet. Man, that's like a money train.
It's, yeah, well, you make them on the cheap, and, you know, you hire some C-list, B-list, D-list, A-list, no, I don't know.
Do they actually have, like, a book? Everything's probably, they probably Twitter each other, it's probably how
I'm sure, yeah, it all gets
hooked together.
Hooks together. So, the 1989 Batman, very theatrical.
Man, and I'm having a hard time, I always have a hard time focusing, but now I'm thinking of Hellraiser, the hooks. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. That dude should be in more shit. Was that like actually...
Pinhead. He can just show up. Like, I don't know, what do you think? Pinhead? And then he's over there, he's like, I think that you'll be finding your mind blown. Or what was his thing? What was Pinhead's big phrase? Like, it's a world beyond your...
Wasn't it something about pain?
It's pain unimaginable.
Something like that. I don't know. I haven't watched those since I was a kid.
Yeah, they were pretty weird.
I was always disappointed by them.
Yeah,
I was always expecting
they're creepy
something.
And weird, but kind of like...
I'd probably enjoy them more now.
Boring, maybe, in places.
Yeah, I was expecting something probably gorier as a child.
It's gory enough. It's just, like I said, it's just kind of like boring in places. It's the first one is. There's this like weird romance.
Oh, it's got that, dude, it's got... One of them, I think it was the first one. The first one had Scorpio in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Robinson. from Star Trek DS9.
He played Liberace in like the Lifetime original movie or some shit.
Wouldn't have surprised me, no.
He did a damn fine job.
I'm sure.
Wow, I tried to lead us into Prince and it got derailed again.
Here's the thing.
Wow, there's just so many references. Uh-huh. Now I'm thinking Clive Owen and Why? Jennifer Aniston. Derailed. You didn't catch that one either, did you?
Yeah, you're just going to... It's going to go everywhere.
I'm waiting to see if your head explodes.
My head's going
to
explode like Scanners. Yeah. Another boring movie that
you
should
see,
be better
than
it is.
You see, this is two people that have watched too many fucking movies.
Yeah. It's too late at night on a Sunday for us to be doing this.
Maybe that's why I always enjoyed Scrooge.
Scrooge had a lot of references.
He had a lot of references. His whole fucking life was references. I'm working on that. I've gotten pretty damn close. I still have few memories... childhood that I think
are
genuine, legit.
And not like just borrowed.
Because I have like photographic evidence, but you can doctor all that shit, so I don't know. Wow. But it is an awesome movie. They all are in their own right.
Yeah.
Wow. No. I'm just going to let you go.
I've just got like a, you know, because I'm a big Batman fan. There's a lot of different incarnations of Batman. I enjoy a lot of them.
We've been looking forward to this for...
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking about watching this one for years now, I think.
Well, for a while. It's been quite a few months that I've been sitting on wanting to watch it.
Well, no, we were talking about watching it last winter, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that wouldn't surprise me. About a year, yeah. So, big Batman fans could be incredulous to this movie, or find this movie incredulous, or whatever, for a variety of reasons... that I don't necessarily have a problem with, because, like I said, if you view this movie as, like, a standalone, theatrical, melodramatic, almost operatic take on on the Batman mythos as a story, which is very much what it feels like watching the movie, then it is what it is, and it's very fun. It's very cool.
Well, almost anything. Doing this with you has been really kind of difficult for me in some respects. This one was a lot different. Not as many emotional ties to childhood with this one, but there's definitely still something there. I mean, I can still remember going to see it when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I remember all the hype. It's funny, and I almost remember it as kind of starting a hype.
Yeah.
And then there were movies...
a little bit.
Almost kind of like the Jaws thing, and then Star Wars kind of starting its own thing. But this, for some reason, I just remember right after this, they were really... the whatever studio put out Dick Tracy
was Warner Brothers, I think. Yeah,
it was Warner Brothers also.
Well, I would imagine so. I don't know for a fact,
for some reason I just remember that one being the next. And then you were talking about The Rocketeer, and that possibly leading to a whole nother. But
yeah.
Then we were talking about The Shadow earlier. It really, Batman really kind of unleashed a series of movies.
It's a resurgence.
The
thing is, like we waited in line at the mall to get tickets to see Batman the first time. My mom was going off about that. She was like, I haven't waited in line to see a movie since I was a kid. For her, it was like almost a weird, like... nostalgic experience for her, like.
Well, you know, and that's
and the
one
film
of the,
itself has that element to it that does fit with things like The Rocketeer and stuff, like some of the set design, some of the feel. It's got these old noir tropes in it and stuff.
Right.
That you know, in the play of the film, and it's very much. It's like we said, it's just such a weird collection of things that are both old and new, like. To take Prince music and put it in that context. To take a comedic actor like Michael Keaton, and have him portray this very strange Bruce Wayne, like borderline Asperger's kind of character that's emotionally distant and doesn't know how to talk to people or interact. And, I mean, there's no real arc for that character, but that's not really what it's supposed to be about, you know?
I was going
to
ask you about that. It was something I was thinking about, and I don't remember... The story behind it, was Michael Keaton the first actor in line for that, or did they approach other people and settle on Michael Keaton?
I'm not really sure, but
it seems like
Burton has worked with people on before with repetition. He'd worked with Michael Keaton already on Beetlejuice.
That's right.
And
was that 88?
Well, it was before Batman. And he worked.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that.
I want to say that Burton worked with Nicholson like two more times since then, but I'm trying to think of when they actually were. He at least worked with them one other time, hasn't he?
On what?
I don't know, but I feel like there's at least one other. Oh, Mars Attacks has Jack Nicholson playing like three characters in it.
Shit,
Jack Nicholson has all kinds of fun working with Burton. He made a fool of himself in that movie like three different times.
He played the rich, like.
He played like a weird Texan character. He played the president.
The president.
And then he played a third, like.
Whose daughter was Natalie Portman.
Yeah, the Natalie Portman daughter.
Yeah.
So, but I want to say that he was in at least one other movie that Burton did, but maybe not. And Johnny Depp, of course, is in like every other Burton movie: Edward Scissorhands, Ed Wood, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
But whatever happened to Paul Rubens? I mean, come on, throw the guy a bone.
Well, he's working on doing another Pee Wee movie.
Oh no shit!
Yeah, no, he's coming. He's made making a comeback or something.
So did he do Big Top Pee Wee?
Tim Burton did. Yeah. I think he did Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
He did the first one, right?
Yeah.
But not the second one.
I think the second was not considered. It isn't very good, is it? I never watched
the whole thing. Yeah. The first one had its moments.
Yeah. But in terms of Batman, it's like there's a lot of things in there that like hardcore comic Batman fans would find take issue with.
Hardcore fans of pretty much anything are very difficult to.
They're difficult to please, and I think Nolan has done a pretty good job.
And anybody in their right mind should really give a shit whether they please him or not. Make an enjoyable movie.
Exactly. I mean,
that was the one tricky thing. Well, you know, I'm going to take that back because I've been one of those picky. Well, I don't think I was that picky. There have been certain times in my life that I've really looked forward to something and had it totally shit on.
Well, that happens. I mean, there are valid complaints to have about the film, and then it's just a point of whether or not
this wasn't one of those times
that one was to let you bother. I mean, the big thing with Batman in a lot of cases for some people is that he doesn't ever find out or catch the person that's responsible for his creation. That, you know, the person that kills his parents.
Oh, in the actual storyline.
In the actual storyline of the comic, they've had different varying degrees of whether he knew the person, whether it was this Joe Chill character or whatever. But the whole idea of it, like what they do in this film is they sort of turn it into a revenge story, which works in the melodramatic, theatrical, operatic elements. It works in that fine, and it makes it hit home a little better. And as a standalone movie, it is what it is. So I don't really have a huge problem with it. I only own, of the first four Batmans, I only own the first one because that's the only one that I consider really very good. I like Batman Returns fine. I would watch it if it were on TV. I would watch a scene of it or something, but I don't think I'm going to wake up someday and be like, unless, I don't know, the Michelle Pfeiffer stuff in that is actually kind of good. And the Christopher Walken stuff is kind of fun. Shrek is good.
Yeah.
Really, it's the standalone thing. I mean, Batman kills people in it. Doesn't seem to have very much trouble with allowing people to be killed or dying. He even says he's going to kill the Joker, and he has no problem with that, which is a big no-no in the Batman element. It's like he's this like vigilante that's going to break all kinds of other laws, but the one thing he won't do is kill. So there are differences here and there, and in terms of the approach, but the way it's probably because I just watched Amadeus, but the whole thing feels like watching like a giant, expensive, you know, multi-camera photographed opera of some kind, you know, with the big Danny Elfman music, and then the Prince music makes it so strange. It's such a unique film that it's, even if you're some kind of crazy Batman fan, it's like, no, they got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. It's like, but they did something really weird with it, and they don't even mention that it's comic books when they're crediting DC. It's like DC magazines, you know. They're trying to stay so removed from the comic side, and like you said, that's maybe better. Like, just try to make a good movie with this core idea, as opposed to
more people would
slaving to the comics. Well, the comics have got good storylines in it, and for certain ones, like a Spider-Man or something, it's fine. And what Nolan has done with the recent Batman movies, he's drawing from comic references, and he's using them but he's using them ultimately to make a good story. You know, like his use of Ra's al Ghul or Scarecrow is not really something drawn directly from any comic story, but it's using, those are characters in the comics that he's, and themes that they represent and stuff that he's using appropriately to tell the story he wants to tell. So in that sense, it's a good sort of split the difference with what Nolan is doing in the new Batmans. That I think that's why the fanboys are so happy, and that's why they're so successful too, beyond just pleasing the fanboys. And of course, the first Batman, the Tim Burton one, you know, made a lot of money because I think a lot of people really enjoyed the Jack Nicholson performance. They enjoyed the theatrics of the whole thing and the melodrama and all of that. Like I said, it's a very big, you know, showy movie. You're going to go see it at the theater, and right, there's giant statues and big sets and stuff, and it's fun to just watch it. And I mean, I remember I saw it twice in the theater as a kid, and this is one of the, this movie and maybe like Temple of Doom, and there's only a couple other movies that like I think I had the, you know, the full screen VHS that I would maybe just put on like a random Tuesday when I was home from school and whatever, like, and just watch occasionally or in the background or have, or something as a kid, back when I was still kind of would do that every now and again. I mean, not very many movies like that, that you just put on constantly and watch a lot. And Batman was one of those for me as a kid. So I have that whole childhood nostalgia thing. I'm able to remove myself from it because it's probably been 10 years since I've seen it. But I remembered all that stuff. Like, it was funny. There'd be lines that would come up and I would remember. I mean, some of them I didn't get right. But, like, I remember. I couldn't believe that I got the line about, like, it's like, what? No? Grease him now? Like, I remembered that he said grease him instead of, like, whack him or, you know, or ice him or anything. Yeah, that's such a, it's hardwired at this point, you know? All the little, never rub another man's rhubarb. There's this great, so many great Joker lines. And it's really, like, a very delightful movie.
It is, that's a great way to put it. It is a delightful
movie. It's delightful, and, I mean, just to turn on the critical side for 30 seconds, there are some ridiculous parts. In the way that people, there's
some parts that really,
some parts don't
really
make
are
sense.
Sinister though. It's like the the flashback to his childhood and his parents getting murdered, and the I'm assuming that's Jack and his henchmen.
Yeah,
body. It kind of looks like that was what they were.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, you know it.
And Jack's one vicious motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, they get that part of it right to a degree. I mean, they start, it's not even really an origin story, which is so interesting. It's like, it starts at Batman exists as this myth. And as opposed to you go through the process of the origin and the creation of Batman, he sort of already exists. And then you get that, like, oh, well, his parents were killed, and that's why later on. And it's organized in an interesting way. And the Bruce Wayne character, I think, is very interesting, the way Michael Keaton's portraying him. Like I said, he's kind of got this sort of difficulty interacting with people and in the ways that he behaves that I think are very good choices for that Batman, for that, because they underscore the other choices of the... I mean, there's the Bruce Wayne character and the Batman character, and they don't go industrialist playboy with, like, you know, a hot chick on his arm all the time. They go weird guy that's sort of removed from things. You know, why are the rich so weird? Because they can afford to be, you know? He can afford to. He's so far in his life, he's banished. I mean, the only real issues with the movie are, I would say, the interactions with Kim Basinger, with the Vicki Vale character. Like the romance, it seems very rushed and quick. Like, they go on one date, and then all of a sudden she's talking about how, you know, Alfred's telling him that he should marry her.
Why has there been a lot... Yeah. A lot of romantic interests, so I think Alfred's just kind of hoping before he dies.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those cases where...
Bruce Wayne's not alone.
I mean, some time goes by, but you never feel the time go by. The movie feels like it happens in, like, 3 days, but I'm assuming it's probably the course of, like, 3 months or something. Or a month. Maybe they do give you that, like, the there's all the politics
the
where the guys are talking about having the festival.
The festival.
Yeah. But
we haven't even talked about Jack Palance.
Jack Palance is solid as Grissom.
Is Grissom, yeah.
And Jerry Hall, mix old lady.
Jerry Hall, holy shit! I saw that. Yeah, it's funny. It didn't even connect that was Jerry Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and the set design is just so this awesome deco stuff, and then they do the inner city like crap heap that is like cities, you know, just loud and dingy, and you know, horns honking, and
I remember that. I remember there seemed to be... there was definitely a phase in cinema where everything became very dark.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's just one of the first movies that pops in my head that really kind of started that for a while.
Well, I mean, I think it had been around for other things. It was probably just one of the first movies that, like, kids like us were seeing that saw had stuff like that, and then had that kind of portrayal of, like, a dingy inner city that was in a movie that was kind of a kid's movie. But also very much so not. I mean, it was PG-13. There's not a huge amount of swearing or anything, but it's just, like I said, it's a certain kind of theatrics that doesn't have a huge appeal to kids. Like, I'm sitting there wondering why I was so into it now as a kid.
All kids were. It was huge with kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, they sold a lot of toys and the Taco Bell cups and everything, but it's a...
Well, it's just a weird fucking movie. I think The Joker probably said best. You know, where does he get all those wonderful toys? I mean, every kid wanted that shit.
Yeah, that's true. I think that just seeing the awesome dude with the awesome car and the awesome plane was why you would watch that movie multiple times.
Pretty
you
much.
Know? Just, I mean, that was why I was watching. I was watching it to see the neat Batman-y stuff. And there was not as much Batman-y stuff as I would have wanted. But, you know, you take what you can get.
And, yeah, Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger was pretty goodness. I mean, she did what she did.
She did.
Her motivations were pretty straightforward. I mean, the romance stuff, like I said, just is sort of rushed and. doesn't quite work, but. in some places. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were trying to do too much.
But Pat Hingle worked all the way.
Pat Hingle was good.
He was solid.
He's like, you go that way, you go that way. Be careful. Be very, very careful. You know? It's like, hey, Pat, why don't you be careful? Bob the Goon's going to pull out a gun on you right now. It's like...
You work for me.
First
you don't
he was,
work for first Carl
he,
Grissom.
Yeah. First he was the thief from Conan the Destroyer, and then he was Bob the Goon for Jack. Yeah.
He's been in some other shit. It.
Yeah, he's been in some
usually
good stuff.
He plays just kind of your average everyday dude. I don't know why, but Aaron Brockovich pops in my head. He played an interesting role in that.
Awesome. He's a character actor, and he kind of pops up here and there. But, I mean, yeah. I
was always fascinated by the fact that he got a 45, and everybody else, for the most part, had these ancient wheel guns. I mean, we're talking going way back, like teens, 20s, 30s. Those, it was interesting catching a frame of Jack's Colt as it hit the grating at the chemical factory. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that thing is ancient. And but it's really interesting.
The blending of genres they're doing with the gun choices, with the clothing, the costuming, the set design, and then the automobiles.
Yeah, Tommy guns. And
yeah, it's the same thing that, I mean, basically the animated series that followed up on this.
I remember everybody loved that.
Had a lot of the same stuff in it. The animated
series. You
watched
that when you were a kid.
Oh yeah, the animated series is awesome. I've got that on DVD now. It's really good. The animated series goes a little... I mean, the cars are also very deco-y. I mean, the animated series might as well be set in the 30s, but it has, like, computer technology in some cases and stuff. It's like a weird series of choices that they basically made. Those guys doing those cartoons just decided, you know what? Our DC universe is going to be in this sort of imagined art deco 1990s, you know, where everything but certain technologies are stuck in, you know, 1940 or something like that. But it's cool. I like it. And that's what they were doing with this Batman movie. They just gave you something that looked so cool and felt so kind of oddly classic in that theatrical sense that, yeah, it was just so strange that they could pull it off too, because you take something that's as dumb as Batman, which is dumb from a general standpoint. It's like guy's parents are murdered, guy puts on a suit, looks like a bat and runs around and does stuff, but yet most of the time you can make it work. I mean, in most of the movies that they've done, they've made it work. Obviously not the Schumacher stuff is pretty terrible, and the campy stuff is campy, you know, the 60s stuff. But this one, most especially, it's like a stand-in for the weird, creepy element that would be an old operas and stuff, you know? Like I said, like in Amadeus, you know? There is
definitely a Phantom of the Opera going on.
Yeah, there's just this, the mask that the one character wears, the dark hero, the dark knight, steps in to reclaim justice and get vengeance for the old trotting, or I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, but I like it as a... It's very much of a standalone thing. It's not something that like a comic book continuity junkie guy is going to get into, especially now. I don't think young kids would be as into it now. I don't know if someone.
Well, who the hell knows what they're into? But, who gives a
but
shit?
But I mean, like someone that like
they'll
is
be,
into
like, marketing.
Someone that's like into Batman would, but that didn't have a chance to see this movie as a kid, or like see it wasn't around, wasn't a kid when this movie came out, or. You know, like, they were born in 1993. I mean, yeah, because it's a 22-year-old movie, which is nuts. It's almost a quarter of a century old. And so that gives it, like, its own
Jesus
feel.
Christ. You don't have to say things like that.
Yeah. Some of the effects are a little aged, but for the most part it works.
Yeah, it does. It has a timeless feel. I think it would be... It would have helped if it was a better version. I mean, the version we were watching, it was just... That DVD version seemed a little bit...
Yeah, it's like an original DVD. I don't know if they did a remastered DVD or if the Blu-ray is a better upconvert. I didn't have too much problem with that.
Everything's so soft, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think it was kind of shot that way, though. I don't remember it being particularly crisp from the theater, but who knows?
I mean, who gives... Again, it's like the kids are freaking smoking oregano and ginger and... I mean, I don't know what to say about them anymore.
Okay,
We're only 30 and the next generation's already scaring the shit out of me.
I suppose. That's just the way of it.
Is that the way
of
it?
I think that's the way of it.
It's like, if I make it to 50, I'm just gonna be... I think I'll just have to tune popular culture completely.
But that's the natural inclination, because there's so much... Especially now, there's so much... That you know what you like, and then you just can kind of spend the rest of your leisure time.
I was 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, then you've got the old stuff, you know? You've got your old movies you like, and you can rewatch. Think about how many movies you
There's so
like.
Many old movies I haven't seen.
Yeah, and there's that, too.
They fade in and out. But what we have here is a damn fine piece of cinema history.
Yeah.
And I recommend you check it out.
I give it 4 out of 5.
I'll give it... Wow. Yeah. Wow. God damn, were you like getting lax on me? It's been a while since
I've done it. It's a feat of its own accomplishment.
We could go through, we could spend like 6 months and I don't think you'd trip above a 3.5.
No, I give it a 4 out of 5 because it's. If you have to view it like this, the theatrical, melodramatic, big movie that it is, and it doesn't pretend not to be that.
You know, it was one of the midnight movies one time and I kept. That used to always frustrate me.
Well, it can work as a cult movie, too, yeah.
I'd always be working or whatever, and I'd be going by the marquees in Arcata, and I'd be, holy shit, they're showing Goonies, or they're showing Raiders of the Lost Ark, or they're showing RoboCop. I'm like, god damn.
Well, they've got the Arcata Theater Lounge running now, and it's kind of, I haven't been there yet, but, I mean, they show stuff all the time. I think they might. They might have all kinds of stuff. Who knows?
Do they roll your own?
Probably.
For you?
No,
it's not
I mean,
really your own though.
I mean, like I said,
that's damn lazy.
It's got a few things that I just do like. I kind of like the noir-y stuff. I like the big sets and all that stuff. I like the set design.
I like the Batmobile.
I like Jack Nicholson is fun. I like Michael Keaton's performance. I mean, there are some dumb things, of course. That Vicky Vale chooses to bug the guy that's got his back to her as she's at a party filled with people. And she
what was
bugs
it about
him.
that just really
because from a writing standpoint, it's like we need to create this moment where she asks Bruce Wayne who Bruce Wayne is, and then he says, I don't know, just to make him seem more weird. And so
that doesn't seem weird at all.
No,
when
it doesn't.
But
woman it kind of
trying
does.
To track you down at a party doesn't know who you are. Yeah,
but the way that they stage that scene,
you're an incredibly wealthy, influential person.
Yeah, I understand all that. But the way that they stage that scene, they put him off to the side, but he's like signing a check with some guy that does probably know that he's Bruce Wayne, and that guy first off doesn't react at all to the interaction that happens between them, between Vale and Wayne. He doesn't like. Like kind of crack up about like, oh, You're blowing off.
What I want to know is when personal interaction will just be completely...
based on Twitters? When you have to know all the Twitter language?
No.
When you're RTing things?
Shit, it already seems like it's growing archaic. No, I was trying to weasel in a Demolition Man moment there. I don't know why. But the whole sex over the phone or through the shells or whatever.
The shells was for the toilet.
Well, same fucking
thing. And there was no touching of the sex. There was no exchange of fluids.
No exchange of fluids.
It was like some kind of a weird tantric, touching your fingers kind of thing.
That would have made Peter Sellers so excited.
I'm sure it would have.
His fluids would have been completely protected.
That wasn't Peter Sellers. That was Sterling Hayden. It was all about the fluids.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Our precious bodily fluid. But, I mean, yeah, 4 out of 5 for sure for the Tim Burton Batman. I mean, like I said, I'm a big Batman fan. A lot of things, like, you're right, in the comics, in, like, a true, like, dyed-in-the-wool, like, epic Batman story, it doesn't want to be a revenge story. It doesn't want to kill. You don't work in this hokey romance that seems rushed or whatever. There are things to criticize about it. It's not a 5 out of 5. It's a 4 out of 5, though, because it's its own weird, unique thing that works for the most part. You got the Prince doing original music for it, which is cool. That whole art thing is that whole scene. There's things that are so bizarre in this movie. Like, it's a Batman movie, but it takes like 5 minutes to do like a music video scene where they get these guys fuck up paintings. And like that's just like some kind of, that's almost like an experimental little scene thrown in there for the sake of art criticism or something like that.
Well, he's an artist.
Yeah, exactly. And it's for the character of the Joker. But it's just weird and it's cool. And those are things that are in that movie that make it cool. And
that is very cool.
And that's why I dig it. That's why I give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
So what do you say? Let's say it's Mark.
I want to give it a 4, but you've thrown me off my game. I mean, I almost feel like I have to give it a 4.5 now. Okay, for Jack, I'll give it a 4. Can I give it like a 4.25? No, that's
yeah. Go ahead, 4.25. Mark gives it a 4.25.
No, Mark doesn't.
It's bullshit. No, Mark, the star rating is just an easy, stupid thing to close the act.
Create our own rating. Thing. Why do we do stars?
Because it's just straightforward.
I give this 4 Happy Meals, bitches.
Yes, 4 Happy Meals with Go-Go toys.
Unless you live in one of those bullshit.
San Francisco, you mean? Unless you live in San Francisco.
Oh, was it San Francisco?
Where you don't get the toys?
You don't get the toys?
Yeah.
Cocksuckers.
To discourage the children from not eating proper diets and healthiness.
And, is GLAAD going to come after me now?
Why?
I just like, it's my favorite swear.
If you were in Deadwood.
If I was in Deadwood, I'd be sad.
Have you seen that, right? You've seen Deadwood, right?
Yeah, I watched it all.
Okay, yeah. I recommend that one to you.
Yeah. San Francisco, Swidgen. It's really, you know, I should just try to talk like that, dude. I can't remember the character's name. Chan? Han?
Who? Al Swearinger? Han? Yeah.
Han, yeah.
I think it was...
Cocksucker?
Han? It was Han, maybe.
Cocksucker, San Francisco, and Swidgen.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all he had. But it worked. It was effective.
Yeah, he had a way to communicate with him. He used pictograms. He used pictograms and then a couple of words, and it worked.
And it did. I mean, the message came across.
James Lipton?
James Lipton.
If he asked me. He's like, Mark.
Just, you know, like.
What is a profession you would not like to have?
What is a profession I'd not like to have?
Yeah, the one profession.
Pretty much all of them.
Yeah, but like, imagine like you got sentenced to this profession.
If I was sentenced
to it?
Well,
I don't know. Whatever. Like,
more like in teen court?
Oh, what was that court show that was on like, Nickelodeon? Where, like, the applause meter would determine whether somebody was, like...
Was that, like, back in the day?
Back in the day. You just reminded... Teen court reminded me of it. It's like, was that the name of the show?
I don't remember that one. I remember... You can't say this on... on television.
With Ross.
With Ross.
I think just died recently. I think the actor that played Ross and Barth and stuff. Yeah, Barth. He was like the only. Remember, Barth was a piece of work.
The bus driver.
He was like the drunk, disgusting, like short order cook that ran the diner. Okay. He had like the stained shirt and stuff stuck in his face. Absolutely. It was the most gross thing, gross looking thing ever. Yeah. Barth.
Yeah, I can remember Bar None. Or bar something.
Hey Dude.
Was Hey Dude?
With the Dude Ranch?
With the Dude Ranch. What was the Dude Ranch called?
I think it was called something like Bar None or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And Ben Stiller's wife was one of the chicks that worked there.
God damn, what a hottie.
Everyone else disappeared though. I don't know if any of those other actors went on to do much.
Probably. I don't know. Snuff films. Who could say? Sky's the limit.
They all became the machine. Don't judge. They all became the machine. Joined the machine.
They're probably all Hollywood producers now.
Oh, yeah. They probably make hand over fist. Like J.D. Roth.
J.D. Roth. And, wow, Nickelodeon. And how the hell did we get to them?
Because we were talking about Batman, and they had the Batman game for Nintendo, and they reviewed it on a show on Nickelodeon.
Oh, because of the team cord, we couldn't remember.
Yeah.
The Blas.
Oh, meter. Yeah, I think that was how they determined whether something was pro or con. Like that was the jury of their peers.
Whatever happened to Mark Summers? He blows brains out.
No, Mark Summers does a show on like Food Network. It's like Drivers, Dines. Dives and
sweet
whatever. It's weird because it's basically just like his voiceover talking about candies and things.
Candies?
Well, it's all like it's usually like junk food, like the epitome of junk food, you know, like hot dogs and hamburgers and cotton candy and like carny food or something.
Carny food. Yeah. Is that like
it's like if Jim Varney weren't dead,
I only
he would
my
host
food
the
in
bed.
A bucket.
Yeah.
They don't come in a bucket.
You like that KFC ultimate meal that's like got like the mashed potatoes with the chicken mixed in it. It's like the whole meal mixed into
it.
Yeah,
don't
bucket.
Come in a bucket, you don't get to stain my draws. But
you.
We gotta get back to the real.
Mm-hmm.
To the moment. Real cat left me behind a while ago. I'm just spinning.
That's fine.
And,
we both gave her a rating. We both liked Batman. We both were kids.
We were both children.
We both saw it at the theater.
At the theater, yeah.
We both watched it a lot when we were kids, and it was fun.
It was Kids Court. I remember that. I remember that.
Holy shit, it was Kids Court.
God damn.
I don't even remember anything other than the Plaza Meter, Kids Court, and I don't remember like with the cases like friends that had stupid arguments about like who like loaned somebody a video game or something. Or
I don't know. Kids are just like shooting each other.
I don't have magic technology. No, I don't. I've tried. Most of my fucking filters are shit. It doesn't take stuff out. It's a pain in the ass.
Well, now you let me know.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, the thing is, like, while you're talking and making the noise, it doesn't do any good. It's like I could like try to isolate and remove, but it's gonna kill your voice too.
Well, you can just put in a disclaimer.
Yeah.
This is Mark being rude.